keep watch. I'll talk a little bit more about that during my message this morning. What is Advent anyway? What is Advent? You know, it's sometimes these terms are thrown out there during the year in the Christian church. Many times people will walk into the church, they don't have a traditional background, and we're throwing around words that really don't make sense. And I think it's important that, especially from the pulpit, or a Bible study, as Barbara's leading presently, we should be able to teach these meanings so they have significance in our lives. And so the question is, what is Advent anyway? Today marks a significant time in the life of the church. And I might add, in the life of the liturgical life of the church, and that's a pretty fancy word. I'll see if I get that liturgical, what it means. I know you guys already knew what it meant. When we talk about liturgy, the liturgy of the church, the liturgical calendar, that word is, it means a prescribed ceremony according to tradition, an organized pattern of worship. And one of the most significant prescribed ceremonies in the life of the church is Advent, the season of Advent. Today, the Western Church, not the Eastern Church, because our Orthodox brothers and sisters celebrate a slightly different calendar, but the Western Church, today for us and all around the world where this is celebrated, we call it the first Sunday of Advent. And unlike the world, many times you've heard we're in the world, but we're not of the world, but the world celebrates the new year, the new calendar year, on January 1st. Kind of makes sense, January 1st, New Year's Day. But in the life of the church, this is our new year. Advent is the first day of a new year in the life of the church. And it's just a brief, I wish Advent was longer. Sort of like Lent is a longer period that we prepare ourselves for Easter and the resurrection. But Advent is only 4 weeks, and it's a brief blip on the liturgical calendar. And it leads us up to what? It leads us up to Christmas. The four Sundays, and then we celebrate Christmas Day. So the question is, what is Advent anyway? And I've shared this in my testimony before. When I was a kid, I raised my hand real quick in a class. Maybe I was in the third grade, and I gave the wrong answer. And not only did my classmates laugh at me, but the teacher laughed. And then as I was growing up through middle school, which we call junior high, and then high school, and then later on college and so forth, and grad school, I wasn't as quick to raise my hand because I was always afraid I was going to come up with the wrong answer. But I think asking questions are very important. And, you know, I had a professor once tell me, and I know you heard this, no question is a stupid question. Well, you wouldn't have believed that in my third grade classroom. But the thing is, when we ask these questions, I think it grows us in our faith, because maybe not everybody knows what Advent is. So I wanted to give a response to that excellent question as we begin this brand new season in the life, the liturgical life of the church. Now you all know what liturgical means. We're on board. So I know this season in the secular world, and we're part of that too, and I'm not suggesting we all quit our jobs and go move on top of a mountain and hum until Jesus returns. But in the secular world, you're seeing something happening now in this season that is a little on the crazy side. What's happening now, a shopping frenzy begins. And what it introduces into our lives, many of us, is anxiety, strife, and exhaustion, instead of peace, joy, and exuberation and expectation and excitement. The very opposite happens. People are worn out. They're tired. I know Amazon is helping with that a little bit, you know. We did a lot of shopping last week on Amazon, and it already arrived at our home, I think, a day later. It's not fair to local businesses, and I try not to do all my shopping online, but it's still hectic that you don't leave anybody out. That, did you remember Uncle Harry, who always complains at the dinners and complains about the sweater you buy him every year? But Advent means coming or arrival. It comes from the Latin word adventus. And I could tell you, of course, we need to build on that word, because coming and arrival is not enough. And I'll tell you why. Arrival could be those packages that UPS delivered on my doorstep a couple of days ago. An arrival of a package. So arrival just doesn't do the job. Or it could be the arrival of a train at the Patchogue train station. It's too vague of a definition. The adventus we're observing this morning is what? A preparation for the arrival of something. No, let me change that word. Not the arrival of something, but the arrival of someone. And we know that that someone that we're anticipating with great expectation is the arrival of Jesus Christ. And so that's what Advent means. Today marks a countdown of an anticipation that will lead up to, first, a celebration on Christmas Eve of what? His first arrival, when he was born as a babe in a manger. But we know he didn't stay as a babe. He grew up, he had a ministry, gave his life on a cross, was buried, was resurrected, and as a result of that, we had victory over sin and death. So the first thing that we're doing this morning is developing a season of anticipation, expectation, excitement about celebrating his birth on Christmas Eve. And by the way, this year, the fourth Sunday of Advent is celebrated in the morning, and Christmas Eve is celebrated in the evening. So I'm going to ask a question. Don't raise your hand. How many are going to be at both services?
We are!
Oh, okay. So we know one's going to be here. So the Bible says we're two or more. Bob, it's you and me, brother. But I'm hoping more of you will show up on that Sunday. So it's this anticipation, expectation, exuberance, and all of that during this Advent season to prepare to worship the babe in the manger who came on that first Christmas day in a little town of Bethlehem. But it's also an anticipation and expectation of preparing ourselves. Be ready, it said, for his second coming as the King of Kings. And we celebrated Christ the King Sunday last week, and I spoke a little bit about that. And after my message this morning, we're going to sing an old Andre Crouch song, I Love It, Soon and Very Soon. And I'm expecting you guys to be rocking when that's sung, okay? Don't stand and say, soon and very soon. You got to be excited. Martha will help you do that. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. And so we're anticipating his second coming. So it's a time of great celebration. It's a time of great joy for those who are in Christ. So in a way, this season has us multitasking. How many are good multitaskers? Let me see your hand. Don't be ashamed. Yeah. How many can't chew gum and walk at the same time? Yeah, okay. At least we've got honest people here today. But the multitasking I'm talking about is Advent has us sort of celebrating the past, celebrating Emmanuel, God is with us, present, and celebrating the anticipated future when Christ returns as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a season filled with hope about the coming of the Messiah who will save the world of its sin and death for eternity. I will be doing a funeral service at 3 o'clock here today, and I'll be doing another one tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And one of the things I try to impart to the family is the hope in Christ for your loved one who has departed. that life doesn't end in this life. Life continues in the life to come because of a Messiah who came. So if I may, I'd like to read a passage this morning, and I think it speaks volumes from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 following. Listen to what it says. For the grace of God that brings salvation to all, has appeared to all men, I'd like to say all persons. You got to remember in the original text, men was more inclusive to like mankind instead of humankind kind of thing. So it's not exclusive to men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. You see, when you have Christ in you, you're able to withstand the pressures of the world and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope of what? The blessed hope of his return, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify, sanctify, set us apart for himself as a people that are his very own, eager to do good. Now, that's who you are, folks. I hope you understand that this morning. You are his people. We are people of God. I tell people all the time, I'm a king's kid. I'm a kid of Jesus Christ. And we ought to embrace that. Don't shy away from it. And so what we see here, it observes Advent, what he did, what he's doing in the now, and what he will do in the future, past, present, and future. And just as those who were waiting for his first coming at the end of the first century B.C., we now, this morning, wait for his second coming during the beginning of the 21st century. You see? So nothing's changed. This anticipation about the coming of the Messiah. Now, let me just say this to you. Well, you, there's another word I threw out, Messiah. I mentioned that one time in a youth group class, and they thought it was an exotic dish, food. I said, no, Messiah is a Hellenized. What does Hellenized mean? You know, the Greek influence. It was the Westernization translation of the Hebrew, Mashiach, which means to anoint or to smear oil on someone. You remember when David was anointed as the king of Israel? He was anointed with oil. He was set apart to be the king of Israel. And so when you think of Mashiach to the Jews, to them it meant ruler, king, somebody that rules over your life. And then later on it was transferred into an, here's another fancy word. I'm just full of fancy words this morning. Eschatological. Whoa, God bless you, yeah. You know, the eschaton, meaning the future, what's coming. And so it's an eschatological term now. The Jews didn't just look now as a Messiah, as somebody who ruled in the here and now in the flesh. Messiah actually meant a ruler who would one day come and rule over us for eternity. And so that was an important thing that they had to believe in, that one day, and I will tell you, after David died, they had prayed that another king would come who was as great and keep Israel as great as possible. But we know that after David died, all kinds of things started to slip and fail, and all of a sudden, this great kingdom of Israel was split into two, Judah and Israel. And later on, both Judah and Israel, different periods, were taken captive by foreign armies and dragged into exile as slaves of those governments. So things didn't turn out well. So to the Jew that was in exile, whether it was Daniel or any one of those prophets, they kept believing and waiting and anticipating the arrival of their Messiah, their Savior, the one who would come and justice would prevail, peace would be realized, God's kingdom would be established, and they would be delivered from their slavery. The prophets were right about his first coming, and you could read Isaiah, there's many passages, and I want to share something exciting this morning with you. They're also right about his second coming. soon and very soon, he will come back. The question is, as written by Ed, will we be ready when he returns? So back to the original question. What is Advent anyway? Well, it's a season for us to celebrate his first coming. I said that already. And it's also to prepare ourselves to be ready when he comes again. And let me tell you something. Nobody knows when he will return again. Remember the story of the 10 virgins? 5 of them had enough oil in their lamp to make it to the wedding feast, and 5 ran out of oil. By the time they ran back to get oil and made it back to the wedding feast, the doors had closed, and they weren't able to get in. So there's this whole sense of Advent about readiness to be prepared for his coming. And I think all of this, I don't know about you, but it makes sense to me. Does it make sense to anybody? Okay, yes, thank you, you 4 people that it makes sense to. You know, Ed and Brenda came up here and they lit a candle on this beautiful Advent wreath. And by the way, it's a cherished symbol in the church. It's brought out every year for this 4-week period, and then it stays up during the Christmas season. But the thing is, it has deeper meaning than just lighting another candle. We have candles lit here, but why this? Why this configuration up here during Advent? And I believe that there's deep meaning to why we do this, because if we don't understand the meaning, then therefore every week we're just going to see somebody light a candle. It's cute, it's nice, but what does it really symbolize? They get progressively lit every week. There'll be a different candle lit each week. And then on the final middle candle, the Christ candle, that's lit on Christmas Eve, and it stays lit during the Christmas season. But let me just tell you something. We don't worship symbols, okay? We don't bow down and worship the Advent wreath. It's the symbols that point us to the one that we did come to worship this morning, and that being Jesus Christ our Lord. So let me just, I think our Advent wreath looks as good as that one, doesn't it? Yeah. Better. I like that. What do you notice about this wreath? Well, first of all, it's round. It could have been square, but it's round, and it's round for a meaning. It means something. There is no beginning, there's no end when it comes to God. There is no beginning, there is no end with God's unconditional love for us. In fact, many times at a wedding, I have 2 wedding bands, actually. I have my father's wedding band and my wedding band on this finger. And I want to tell you, why is this wedding band round? It symbolizes the unbrokenness love that I have for my wife and she has for me. Do you love me, honey? Okay, all right. Just checking. She might say, you need a square ring. But it's the unbrokenness of love. And so this roundness symbolizes an unbroken relationship with God. And then it's green. And I think that's a very strong symbol. Why? Because it's evergreen. And if you notice, how many are raking leaves right now? Yeah. So you're busy raking leaves right now because most trees look dead. They go dormant in the winter. All the leaves fall, but all the evergreens on my property are standing tall and evergreen. And what that symbolizes is that God's vibrancy, his relationship with us, is good for all seasons. Not just one season, not 2 seasons, but every season of our life, from birth to death and beyond the grave. And so thus the evergreen. Now, if you notice, the candles are of a purple hue. And there's a reason for that, because purple in the Old Testament symbolized royalty, kingship. And so when you look at this royal a hue of purples, it symbolizes the kingship of Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord. And so when you look at those 4 candles or 5 candles, there are many. If you go online, there are a lot of different variations on what they symbolize. I like a traditional definition of what the candles represent. And that is hope, peace, joy, and love. Advent is all about hope. Paul writes in Romans that our hope is found in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. So that first candle that was lit represents hope. And then, of course, we know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In fact, if you look at Isaiah, let me see if I could just newness of life. I forgot to do this. Sorry about that. There you go. If you look at Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, I want to tell you something. The world can't give you the peace that Jesus gives. There's no peace like the peace of Christ. I wonder how many people here have ever experienced the peace of Christ in the midst of a storm. How many know what a storm feels like when it comes your way? It's not nice. And I could tell you, it's rocky at times, but the Prince of Peace will break in. And the Bible says he gives us a peace that the world can't give. And in fact, it goes beyond all human comprehension and understanding. The world can't give you the peace that Jesus gives you. And so the Advent candles are all about hope and peace. And the third one, it's about joy. Actually, I'm going to go back to this one. It's about joy. And I want to tell you something. Let me just remind you something. When you have Christ in your life, there should be joy on your faces. But oftentimes, we look like raccoons sucking on a lemon. You know, I'll tell a joke and they'll go, he did that in church? Yeah, I like to have fun in church. Because if church wasn't fun, I wouldn't come here. You know, I mean, church could be serious at times, but it also should be light. Because how many know my favorite image of Jesus, and I know no one knows what Jesus looked like. In fact, he does not look like Tab Hunter, all right? He did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. Get over it. He was Palestinian, and that's what he looked like, okay? But I love this image of Jesus with his head rocked back, and he's giving a big laugh because we always take Jesus too serious. I guarantee you when he was hanging out with the disciples around the campfire, he laughed a lot. Jesus was a happy person. He was serious, but he was happy, and he wants us to be joyful. And sometimes we have to tell our faces that, amen? My wife oftentimes says, you look too much like a cop. So I know what she means. I'm given the impression I'm going to throw somebody on a wall or something. She says, smile, smile, smile. And I, too, have to remind myself. So Advent is about hope, peace, joy, love, and God wants us to be reminded. He has filled us with his love because the Bible says, for God so loved you and me that he gave his only son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So folks, if you have been filled with the love of Jesus, guess what he wants you to do with that? He wants you to give it away. He wants you to give it away to others when you see people, love on them a little bit. Okay? So, and then we got the Christ candle in the middle, and I just want to say, why is it given a central location? It's given a central location for a reason. That candle in the middle is put there, not on the side, not out here somewhere. It's reminding us that Jesus needs to be at the center of our lives. Okay? Make him the center of your life. Don't make your job, don't even make your family. I said that one time, and a mother after service came up to me and says, my family's first. Well, let me tell you, if you make Christ first, he'll make your family first. Okay? You'll have a happier family. You'll have a happier job. You'll have a happier life. You'll have a happier existence when he's at the center of your life. God does not want to rip us away from our families. He wants us to cherish the people in our lives who love us and we love them. But he's saying, if you keep me on the throne of your life, if you keep me first, all the other things are going to fall into place in your life. And so I want to just say this morning, as we begin this new season of Advent, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about being filled with hope and peace and joy and love with great expectation that this year is going to be different than any other year. That when we go through this season and we celebrate Christmas Eve on the 24th and we begin this new year in the life of the church, that God is doing something new in your life and my life, something new in this church. How would you like to believe that? Something new in this church. Something new in this church. This building may be 127 years old, but we're not. There's joy. There's peace. There's hope. There's love. And so, Father God, I pray that as we begin this new season in the life of the church, we could throw liturgical in there or not. It doesn't matter. It's a great time of celebration. It's a great time of anticipation. It's a great time to be alive today. And I pray that this season would be filled with your presence and it will be remembered for the rest of our lives, that you would be lifted up and that all people would be drawn to you through our witness. In Jesus' precious and holy name, and all God's children said, Amen. Amen.